Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at the Education Town Hall. We have the honor and privilege of being a part of WEAC Radio's local live wire content here on WPWC 1480 AM, WEACradio.com. Also check out the Education Town Hall on Facebook. The Education Town Hall with Thomas Berg is the District of Columbia's contemporary meeting place where all are welcome. The price of admission is your sincere desire to lend your voice and talents in making our education apparatus the premier model for this nation. The goal of the show is to facilitate the construction of effective community-supported solutions and foster the incitement of strategic transformative actions. To that end, we want stakeholders who are directly affected by this current system to find their voice and then act upon it. We want all others to know that the quality of public schools affects each of us. Whether or not you have children in the schools, excellent public schools are essential, at minimum to the same degree as making sure that we have responsive and effective fire and police departments, as well as the very important other public services we all depend on. These are all benefits and shared responsibilities of living in communities. We are all certainly advantaged by their high quality, as much as we suffer collectively due to their lack thereof. It is therefore every citizen's responsibility to help improve our education system, because it's in everyone's best interest to do so. None of us can any longer sit idly by while the future prosperity of our young people and this city are at stake. So we call on parents, students, teachers, administrators, community members, policymakers, and yes, politicians, to join us here at the Education Town Hall, which is the intersection where we can all meet and collectively do what has never been done before and do what should have been done a long time ago. So again, welcome and thanks for joining us here today on Washington's newest progressive radio station, WEAC Radio, where our motto is do something. And we are indeed proud and pleased and privileged and honored to have this esteemed panel of individuals in studio with us today, who I'm going to get to in a minute. But we have Ms. Shannon Cuttle, who's the project manager of the Anti-Bullying Institute of OHR, Safe Schools Advocate. We have Mr. Elliot. And Elliot, I'm trying not to mess up your name, but you'll assist me with it in a minute. What is your last name?
It's MZ.
MZ. Okay, got you. Elliot MZ, who's the Policy and Public Affairs Officer for the Office of Human Rights. And we also have Ms. Andrea Allen, who's the Associate Attorney at Claus, Perry, and Mitchell here in the District of Columbia. And today, we're going to be talking about something that's of vital importance in D.C. public schools, and that is the issue of bullying. But before I get to that, I want to first of all thank our past sponsors who have been so supportive of us, because without sponsorships, we would not be here. And we do indeed thank our past sponsors. That our initial inaugural sponsor was DC Voice, who did a wonderful job of sponsoring us for a number of months. The 21st Century School Fund is one of our sponsors, and we thank them tremendously. I also want to thank the National Council of Negro Women, the Washington Section, for their support of this month's show, the month of July. We do indeed thank them. There are some very quality individuals that do that fine work that they do, and we want to thank them for being our sponsors. And I will deliver a message from them shortly. But I want to go ahead and get started because we've got a lot to cover today. And so I want to begin by having Ms. Cuddle, and we'll go around and have you all introduce yourselves and give a little background about what it is you're doing. In fact, we'll start with Mr. Enzi, because we want you to talk more broadly about the Office of Human Rights. So you can kind of set the stage about the agency and what goes on there, and then we'll move on to Ms. Cuddle.
Great. I'd be happy to, Thomas. The D.C. Office of Human Rights is actually a government agency in the district with a goal of eradicating discrimination in the city. And really, the agency focuses on doing that in two ways. One of them is enforcement, where people can come to us with claims of discrimination in employment, housing, public accommodations, and also educational institutions. And we can file a complaint with us and actually get their discrimination complaint heard. So that's all done under the D.C. Human Rights Act, which is one of the most progressive human rights laws in the country and really allows people to file these claims in the first place. The second way the Office of Human Rights tries to eradicate discrimination is through proactive prevention and addressing problems as they arise before they become more severe. We really try to address discrimination and by increasing awareness in a number of ways. One quick example is a fair housing campaign we're running right now in newspapers, which is focusing on housing discrimination. And also, later this summer, we're actually going to have an entire awareness campaign about transgender rights and issues. So we're doing a lot of proactive work in that way. And then, of course, the topic that we're talking about today is the anti-bullying initiative, which is another thing that our office has been working on quite diligently since the legislation was passed a few weeks ago. So I believe we're going to be talking more about the task force in a bit and the work of OHR on this issue, but we're very excited to be here.
Thank you for being here, Ms. Cuddle.
As the project manager, anti-bullying initiatives for the Office of Human Rights and as a Safe Schools advocate, there's a lot of things that the Office of Human Rights has been doing to really help really take the lead in working on this initiative and the action plan. The anti-bullying task force in and of itself, the Office of Human Rights has really strived to take the lead in providing best practices in anti-bullying and working with citywide residents and community members and fellow stakeholders in order to begin the process of truly eradicating bullying harassment in the district.
Great, and thank you for being here, Ms. Allen.
Good morning. My name is Andrea Allen, and I'm an associate attorney with
Perry Mitchell. Could you repeat that?
Good morning. My name is Andrea Allen, and I'm an associate attorney with the firm of Cloris Perry Mitchell here in D.C. I'm a transplant from the Atlanta area and have 13 to 15 years of experience as an attorney in the educational field, dealing with lots of things, including discipline, special ed, but also focusing on bullying, writing policies and procedures for now charter schools and in the past public schools.
Thank you so much. We're indeed glad to have each of you here today with us on the Education Town Hall. We want to get started. I want to start with you, Ms. Cuddle, because the focus today in our conversation is the anti-bullying initiative, or it's legislation now, I believe, correct?
Yes. Mayor Gray has signed the Youth Bullying Prevention Act of 2012 just the other week.
Why don't we start by giving us an overview of what's contained within that legislation?
So the Youth Bullying Prevention Act of 2012 is actually a very groundbreaking act in and of itself. It's one of the most comprehensive anti-bullying acts in the country, Which really makes us unique for the District of Columbia, that we will be leading the country as having the, one of the first citywide anti-bullying initiatives. And what that means is that this act will cover not just District of Columbia Public Schools, charter schools, and UDC, but also other youth-serving agencies, and help support best practices in anti-bullying prevention, such on the public transportation, also in parks and rec, libraries, and really giving like a full, complete citywide anti-bullying focus to really help create with prevention intervention for all youth in the district.
Great. Let me ask you a question that comes to mind. I know you have, your organization has community partners, so I'm wondering how this legislation was crafted. How, where did you get your input? How did this come to being? Could you share with us that process, how that came about? Did you hold community meetings, or did you all approach certain partners to get their input? How did that legislation, the crafting of that legislation, come about? And either one of you can answer the question.
Well, with this particular legislation, the Office of Human Rights, we did not have a direct role in actually crafting this legislation. We're having a role in actually implementing this legislation, which is very powerful. Mm-hmm. But I think the background to the anti-bullying legislation in the District of Columbia has a long history. The first anti-bullying bill was introduced into the city back in 2009, and moving forward through that time, there have been many community members, stakeholders, and council members who have been supportive of really pursuing anti-bullying prevention and intervention policy within the district that's really comprehensive and would really support the community as a whole. So I think that over the past couple of years, it's been a very wide community-led effort that's led up to the point of where we're at now. And now moving forward, I see this as taking next steps, and OHR is very pleased to be taking the lead to help move this policy forward and really provide best practices.
Great. I want to swing over to Ms. Allen. And I want to get your reaction to what Ms. Cuddle has just shared with us about this initiative, about this legislation, that not only includes schools, but libraries and other public venues in terms of bullying.
Well, let me say that in my 15 years of dealing with bullying, I think schools have really wrestled with how to deal with this, not just from a discipline aspect, but for prevention and intervention aspects, and I think that they've come a long way in implementing really good programs and bringing things on board. But what I find is really unique about this particular act is that it's the comprehensive nature of it, meaning that it's going to be very different, and I'm going to be really excited to see how the task force is going to be brought on board, how they're going to figure out how to implement this, how to make it practical, the daily life of how this is going to be dealt with in these other areas such as parks, libraries, because I think in schools administrators, the parents, the students, they're well aware of it. There's rules they have to follow. They know if they break the rules, what happened. They know there's counselors, there's social workers that can support them. But how do you kind of craft and design a similar situation for all of these other locations? And I think it's much needed, greatly supported, but would really like to see how that's going to work.
Fantastic. For all you listeners who are new to the show, we take a break at approximately every quarter of the hour, and it seems like we just got started, but we've reached that quarter mark. And so I guarantee if you do stay with us, we will be right back.
Education in response to your question about do I think having an education radio show is a good idea, I think it's a tremendous idea. I think you need to have a continuous conversation and dialogue among the entire community about how well we're doing in terms of our performance and where we actually have challenges. And I think and it's not static. It is a process that evolves over time. Schools get better and some schools get worse, and so we've got to continue to have a conversation and give folks an opportunity to give insight and feedback about what they're seeing as a challenge and what the opportunities are. And so I think any kind of a format that helps create that positive dialogue and discourse, an honest conversation, I think could be critically important to our efforts as we try to make sure that all of our kids have access to a high-quality education.
Okay. Thank you, Deputy Mayor of Education, Deshaun Wright. And we look forward to having you as a studio guest at one time in the near future.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much,
sir.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
I'm Nadine Ellis.
I'm Alimi Ballard.
I'm Natsuri Naughton.
I'm Jason George.
HIV began one person at a time.
And it will end one person at a time.
It just takes each one of us doing our part.
Start by knowing your status.
June 27th is National HIV Testing Day.
I've been tested for HIV. Have you? To find an HIV testing center near you, visit greaterthan.org.
Together, we can be greater than AIDS.
The Arc presents Showtime Tuesdays and Color Bowlers Reading Rescue. 2 hours of reading, movies, and lots of fun. Every Tuesday, bring your kids in out of the sun.
Now, why would I do that?
Because the treat on Star Guinness for everyone. Besides, they get to take home a book and watch cool movies, too, like The Lorax, Train of Dragons, and The Panda the No Kung Fu.
It's a day of series of movies, reading, and great treats. The air to you and child will leave a smile.
It's fun, fun, fun. It's free, free, free.
So come to Showtime Tuesday.
And cool off with me, me, me.
Cool off, cool off.
We're the Arts,
I Can't,
Summer Intern.
We're
along with Capital One and
William
C. Smith and Company approve this message.
Showtime Tuesdays at the Arts, every Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. to 12 noon, 1901 Mississippi Avenue.
Building bridges east of the river.
This is Richard Fowler from The Richard Fowler Show. You're listening to We Act Radio, WPWC, 1480 AM, Dumfries, Washington.
Do you think it's a good idea to have a program dedicated to education in the District of Columbia?
My name is Mary Lord. I represent Ward 2 on the D.C. State Board of Education, and of course I do. You could never tell me enough or give me enough information about education in the District of Columbia, and we are the epicenter of education reform in the nation. We absolutely deserve to have a radio show about it.
Fantastic. We won't interview you now, but thank you so much, State Board of Education member Mary Lord. We look forward to having you as an in-studio guest in the near future.
Oh, I look forward to it, too. Thank you so much for including me.
Thank you. And we are back live. Thank you for being here with us today on the Education Town Hall, the intersection where we can all meet and collectively do what has never been done before and do what should have been done a long time ago. It is indeed a pleasure to welcome in studio with us our esteemed guest, Ms. Shannon Cuddle, who's the project manager for the Anti-Bullying Initiative in the Office of Human Rights, along with Mr. Elliot Enzi, who's the Policy and Public Affairs Officer of the Office of Human Rights, and Ms. Andrea Allen, who's an Associate Attorney with Claus Perry and Mitchell here in the District of Columbia. And so we are indeed glad to have you all in the studio. We were talking before we went to break about the bullying initiative. And Ms. Allen raised a very good point, a question rather, about how does this, what does this look like in terms of enforcement in, say, for instance, libraries or other public spaces? Because she mentioned that in schools, there's a process and there are procedures that are followed and there are people assigned to do those things. So how does that look outside of the school setting in other public spaces?
Sure. So one of the many things that the Youth Bullying Prevention Act of 2012 does is that it charges a task force to be appointed by the mayor to help create and oversee a model policy that would then be implemented amongst the district agencies. And what that actually would entail and help do is help entities like Parks and Rec, libraries, and other be able to give them a guide and helping to create policies and programmatic measures to help really address bullying, harassment, prevention, and intervention from an agency standpoint, and then also help link that to a school's community focus. And I think one of the strongest charges of this task force looking into best practices and model policies is making sure that there is an actual comprehensive and measured effect of what the bill is actually going to enforce. And I think that right now, currently, we have very strong stakeholders and agency members that have already begun the process of having discussions on how to really address this need that's actually stated within the Youth Bullying Prevention Act of 2012.
Okay, so it sounds like there are still some pieces to be put in place. It's a work in progress. It's still being fully developed. And so the answer to my question will lie in the future work that is to be done.
Sure. Right now we're working at, you know, stage one of this process. It's a multi-tiered, multi-level process. And, now that we're moving forward off the bill, the Youth Bullying Prevention Act of 2012, being signed by Mayor Gray and moving forward into implementation and building model policy, we're just at stage one, and this will be a multi-phase process. And we're soliciting support from community members as well to help be a part of this process. And up until July 18th, community members that are interested in applying to be a member of the Mayor's Anti-Bullying Task Force through boards and commissions can go to the OHR website, and they'll be able to find more information if they're interested.
If you want to give that website, you can do so. We'll give it out. We'll give it out to make sure we give it out before we leave today. We want those who are listening and have any interest in joining that task force to have the opportunity to do so. I looked at the requirements for doing so, and it's not really difficult to apply to be a member of the task force. And I would encourage those who feel that this is an important issue. In fact, I want to kind of transition over to Ms. Allen. Because I know you've worked in the past as an advocate when you've worked with students and families. So I want you to kind of share with us your experiences in terms of what bullying is and what the issues around bullying are. And why is this initiative or legislation important or needed at this time?
Well, I think for years, I mean, if you think back to even when we were kids, although we may have been at different times, but nonetheless, bullying is that sort of harassment, that awful feeling that sometimes kids have that they can't go to school because they know once they reach the doorsteps of that classroom or that building, that someone is going to be just so engaged in making sure that their day just does not go well. It could be anything from that to almost criminal-like behavior. The intensity varies. But in my experience in dealing with this, you have kids that, you know, you have the person that knows that who is the bully, the person that is preying on other kids. They're able to look at those kids and determine that they can ruin their day, that they can drive them to the edge and they make that their goal. Then you have the groups of kids who alienate the other kid because they don't look like them, they don't act like them, that they're different in some way. And so they point them out, they make fun of them, they exclude them, they do hurtful things to them. And my experience in dealing with that is that, you know, from a school's perspective, that you really have to be proactive. You have to, as a teacher, as a worker in the school building, as a fellow student, really look out for these scenarios and to report them so that there could be some intervention. There's a whole continuum here. There's intervention programs, there's preventative programs, and there's also discipline. But a lot of this has to do with making sure that everyone is kind of keeping an eye out for what is going on, reporting these things, stopping them as quickly as possible so that they're not allowed to progress, because it can be greatly damaging to an individual to be subjected to this kind of behavior on an ongoing basis. From a legal perspective, I mean, there's varied issues. There needs to be strong policies and procedures written. And I think, as Shannon has mentioned, that there is going to be a comprehensive model policy here by the task force. So I think it's really going to be important that there's good policies and procedures put in place that address these issues, that for the new facilities that are going to have to implement this, that they understand what that looks like, how it's going to work, and that you put parents and students and individuals and the youth on notice that they're going to have to follow these rules and that what happens if they should choose not to.
And, you know, you must be reading my mind, because I just wrote that on my sheet here, on my notes. What are the sanctions or punishments that students or parents, for that matter, may face if their children are found to be bullying? Is that covered in the legislation or in this initiative?
So in the Youth Bullying Prevention Act of 2012, it charges a task force with creating the model policy. Within one of the model in the model policy creation, one of the topics that will be covered is not just coming up with a comprehensive plan and talking about best practices and ways to inform parents and community members on prevention and the intervention of bullying harassment, but also helping establish clear reporting guidelines and also giving recommendations in regards to helping community agencies or district-wide agencies, I should say, that are youth-serving programs be able to develop a plan of action in regards to prevention and intervention. In regards to directly stating any type of provision for families and the community of something punitive to happen, know that the act does not establish that, nor does is the task force charged specifically. I think that because bullying harassment changes within the environment that it's in, so bullying can look different in the schools than it does perhaps when you're perhaps, you know, at the pool this summer. Yeah, at the park, or, you know, on the computers at the library. So what the task force and the model policy will help do is help really kind of guide in creating best practices in that regard. But I do also want to say that that along the lines of bullying harassment, then we have to look at a holistic approach, that there's also the bully and also the person who is the victim of bullying harassment. Both equally need intervention and prevention measures, and also the bystander. I want to also really mention the bystander effect as well, and because that is something that's also very strong within bullying harassment. And hopefully, as we're looking at model policies, we'll be addressing all three and coming up with best practices in order to really eradicate bullying harassment in the district.
Fantastic. I'm giving the signal that we are reaching the bottom of the hour already. The time sure flies by when you're having great guests and great conversation around an important issue. So for those of you who are with us today, we ask that you stay with us, because I guarantee we will be right back.
Superintendent.
Superintendent of Education for the District of Columbia. The question is whether or not I think it's good to have a town hall focused on education. My answer is absolutely. Education is a public endeavor, and schools cannot accelerate student achievement alone. Therefore, it behooves us all to do whatever we can on behalf of our children and in order to accelerate their achievement. So I'm excited. I hope I get invited to the show, and I will be listening.
Thank you so much, and indeed you will be invited. As soon as we possibly can get you in the studio, you will be invited. Thank you so much for your comments.
Thank you.
All right.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Hey, it's your boy, Richard Fowler. Catch my show every Friday nights from 8 to 10, only on We Act Radio. It's time that people understand that they need to inform themselves, empower themselves, and get their voice back. That's the only way we can create real change in this country, if we unite together, and that's what we do every Friday night. We hope you can join the movement with us.
Take Action News with David Schuster, Saturdays from 12 to 3 on We Act Radio, 1480 AM and weactradio.com.
Well, for me, it's always been, you know, you report the facts. You report like hell, let the chips fall where they may. And the truth ultimately is what's going to sort of help our society and help all of us. I don't think progressives want a thumb on the scale on the facts. They just want the facts out there. You let the facts out, and progressives will tell you know, we're going to win 70% of the time. You may quibble with the percentages or whatnot, but I think that's just sort of what progressives are looking for, and I think that's where this all sort of meshes with my interest as a journalist. My interest as a journalist is report the facts, here's what's going on, here's what the facts say, here's what history says, here are the lessons we know we have learned, and let people draw their own conclusions. And I think what's so unfortunate right now in the world of broadcast media is I do think that a lot of conservative radio, certainly conservative television, they're not interested in facts. And that's ultimately where I think conservative media is going to have its downfalls, that Americans are hungry. They're just hungry for basic information, hungry for basic facts. You report like hell, you let the chips fall where they may. I think it's natural for all of us who care, who are passionate about politics, who feel like we have a sense about the difference between right and wrong. I think it's okay to let that be part of your coverage. It's important for all of us as broadcasters and journalists. In this day and age, we have to be authentic. You can't be the person who's up in the ivory tower that comes down and tells people, now you must eat your peas. Now, it's all about, we all have personalities, and I think it's being aware sometimes of our own bias, but also being open to the idea that sometimes we're wrong, but we have a dialogue, and we have a passionate dialogue, and we care about this country, we care about this community, and I think that sort of passion is what carries us through.
Hear more from David Schuster, Saturdays from 12 to 3 on Take Action News, on We Act Radio, 1480 AM, and weactradio.com.
This is Margaret Flowers.
And I'm Kevin Zeese. Join us every Monday morning, 11 a.m. for Clearing the Fog.
Speaking truth to expose the forces of greed.
Start the week with your eyes open.
The Fog.
The forces of greed that spin news stories for the benefit of the 1%.
Each week, we feature guests who are working to expose these truths and offer real solutions to the current crises we face.
Knowledge is power, and with knowledge, you will be empowered to act to shift the power to the people.
Monday mornings at 11 a.m. on weactradio.com or 1480.
Hi, I'm Denise Rolark-Barnes, publisher of the Washington Informer newspaper, and you've asked whether I think a show on education is a good idea for the District of Columbia, and I would give an unequivocal yes, it is. Information is power, we always know that, but information about education, resources, the politics, the finances, the what our young people could and should be achieving and what should be taught in the classroom is an exceptional you can't talk enough about it. Let me just say that. And I'm so glad that you are having the show. Continue to do the good work that you're doing. And folks out there, you just keep listening. If there's something you don't hear on the show, I'm sure that the folks here would love to hear from you. And make sure it's a topic for an upcoming show. So keep on listening.
And we are back live. You are listening to the Education Town Hall here on WPWC 1480 AM. Listen to us online at weactradio.com. We are indeed honored to have in studio with us today Ms. Shannon Cuttle, who's the project manager of the Anti-Bullying Initiative, Mr. Elliot Emsey, who's a policy and public affairs officer, and they're both from the Office of Human Rights, and Ms. Andrea Allen, who's associate attorney at Cloris, Perry, and Mitchell. We're indeed glad to have you with us. But right now, I want to pause for 1 minute and go back to the point I made at the top of the show, which is I'm so very thankful to our sponsors. And this month's sponsor is the Washington section of the National Council of Negro Women. And the Washington section was founded in 1943 under the leadership of Romaine Brown, 8 years after Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune founded the national organization in 1935 for the purpose of improving the quality of life for African women of African descent and their families. And so they're indeed a wonderful organization with a rich history. And I am pleased and honored that they have chosen to sponsor the Education Town Hall for the month of July. And so we ask those who are listening to us to support that organization as best you can, because they are supporting us and we all want to work together. And so, again, thanks to the Washington section of the National Council of Negro Women. Now, we'll get back to our conversation around bullying. And off mic, I was just talking to Ms. Cuttle, and she informed me that she has a long history of being an educator. I believe you said teacher as well as principal. And so this issue is something that you've seen from both sides of the fence, if you will. Excuse me. I wanted to go back. I kind of want to ask Ms. Allen as well as you, Ms. Cuttle, what really causes, and I'll limit it to young people because, you know, adults can bully as well, but what really leads people or young people to acts of bullying and to take on that mentality where they have to bully folks? Is there some psychology involved in that or something? I'm definitely a layman, so I that may be a crazy question, but, you know, I thought I'd ask.
Psychology, but I think in just talking with the students, during the hearing process, during the intervention and prevention process, you have a certain amount of anger, I think, within someone that makes, and that person also has oftentimes issues where they feel inadequate. And so I think they take those issues out by taking control of other people in a negative way. So I think, as Shannon mentioned before, in terms of you have the victim who, because they're being victimized by this situation, they have negative emotions, their confidence is impaired, they have fear and anger and frustration concerns. And the bully, if left unchecked, could possibly get into more serious antisocial or even criminal behaviors. So, and the bystanders, I mean, they're impacted in that they see this. They feel that their security could be jeopardized, so sometimes they don't want to intervene or report. And they also come to them sometimes where they accept these sort of behaviors. So with all of this interplay, I think it's very important that they have preventive and intervention measures as well as consequences being imposed, because it's very important to stop that bullying early, because if that person is not put in check or given some assistance to kind of really rein themselves in, it's no telling what ultimately they could become involved in. And it's a failure on our part as adults if we haven't intervened and tried to assist.
Now, I was having an off-mic conversation with Ms. Cuttle, and you indicated that you really didn't want to lean heavy on the punishment aspect of this?
Not punishment. I said criminalization.
Criminalization. Okay. Go ahead. Follow up on that. Why so?
Well, first of all, I want to go back a little bit. So bullying in and of itself is a form of violence, right? So, you know, it's defined as unwanted or aggressive behavior that involves actual or perceived power imbalance. And bullying itself can occur at any time, on school grounds, off school grounds, and we need to really look at it more as a community health issue.
Community health issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the bullying and harassment in and of itself is part of a larger community health issue, and I think one of the basic foundation ways that we can do to address it is really looking at and helping change the culture and climate that bullying harassment thrives in, and help trying to change the stigma behind self-advocacy against bullying harassment, and also really look at more beyond policies, beyond the framework, because bullying harassment does, you know, impact the future. We do have to start young, right? So you have a young person who experiences bullying harassment, that stays with them. So because that health impactment happens when they're young, they carry it through adulthood. And so that means that as an adult, perhaps, that then they've suffered through other health disadvantages, and that also leads to then contributions to the overall community and growth of a community to change as well. And if we look at bullying harassment strictly from a criminalization standpoint only, we're only perpetuating the cycle, right? We're actually not really looking at and developing ways to actually end that cycle and really create powerful and impactful preventative and intervention methods that can actually help change that climate and culture, so for the next generation that doesn't happen, and then therefore that actually grows and changes our community as a whole.
Well, I know when I was growing up that bullying was an issue back then, and I grew up here in wonderful Ward 8, and so there, and bullying goes on today. I have conversations with the Ward 8 state school board member all the time, and bullying is still an issue. So I have to ask, since this has been a long-standing issue, and I'm sure there have been initiatives and efforts in the past to arrest or address this situation. So why do we think that this particular initiative will be successful? Is there any difference from what has happened in the past with regard to addressing this issue versus what's being done now? Or what's proposed to be done now?
Well, I think that there's been individual agencies and community organizations and schools have been really making efforts towards eradicating bullying harassment, addressing it in some form for some time. I think with the passage of the Youth Bullying Prevention Act in 2012, this really brings more streamline and focus for a comprehensive approach that we can do citywide, coming together as one voice.
Okay, I want to swing over to Mr. Enzi, and I know that the Office of Human Rights has many partnerships. So could you share with us some of those partnerships, government as well as the nonprofit sector that are working around this task force and this issue?
Yeah, absolutely. As Shannon and others have mentioned here today, the Youth Bullying Prevention Act of 2012 sets up a task force to actually come up with a model policy to address bullying prevention. And the Office of Human Rights is actually leading that task force. But in the legislation itself, it actually lists seven specific groups that should participate in the task force, and that's teachers, district agencies, school officials, parents and legal guardians from the community itself, youth as well, general community members, and then also direct service providers. So there's quite a broad array and diverse group of people that are participating in the task force. In terms of actual D.C. government agencies that are participating, there's well over a dozen. It includes D.C. Public Schools, the Public Charter School Board, the Department of Health, Department of Parks and Recreation, which is one of the things that we've mentioned, addressing bullying in parks themselves. Also, the public libraries and the police department will be involved. And even WMATA, the transit authority, will be participating in this task force, just because we know that bullying happens in our transportation system as well. In terms of members of the community, aside from our school officials, there's actually Advocates for Youth, a great organization that we're going to be working with, the Children's Medical Center, GLSEN, which is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and they tend to work with kids in schools and focus heavily on that. The DC Trans Coalition, because we know that transgender people are often bullied and harassed. And then the Latin American Youth Center and a number of other great organizations. And really, we're trying to bring together a diverse group that reaches vulnerable populations as well. So We're really excited about the task force, and as Shannon mentioned earlier, we're now have a call out till July 18th for community members, parents and legal guardians, and youth to participate in our task force. And you can go to our website, which is ohr.dc.gov, and grab that application. It's a fairly simple process, so we encourage people to do that.
Repeat that address again.
The address is ohr.dc.gov, or you can Google DC Office of Human Rights, and we should pop up for you.
I did see in looking at that application, there is age requirement for students. Would you share that? Someone.
Sure. The age requirements, we're really hoping to really get some youth on board as well. And youth ages 16 to 21 are encouraged to apply. If the youth are under 18, they must have a parental consent or parental guardian consent in order to apply. It's the same process for youth. We just ask that they be enrolled in a DC school of or be certified as a DC homeschool and be in good standing as a student.
Great. Fantastic. We've reached the three-quarter hour, and we have to pause for our final time for this week's show. But I ask you to stay with us. We're going to finish up this very important conversation around bullying. And if you do stay with us, I guarantee we will be right back.
This is Reverend Anthony Motley, president, founder, CEO of Inner Thoughts Incorporated, a Ward 8 based nonprofit educational program development organization. We write curriculums and program activities for the young and old in Ward 8. I think that it is very important to have a show, a radio show on education so that the word can get out about the things that are impacting, the educational system in our city. I think it's time that people begin to talk aloud about these issues. And I think that it's beyond political considerations. This is a matter of survival. And we've come from I'm a product of the DC public school system, and we've come from a grand history, tradition, and it's just it so happens that over the years people have watered down our educational system and created the kind of dysfunctionality, I think on purpose, so that they could eliminate certain people from the workforce in this city. And so I think it's important that we begin to talk about these issues and share with the residents of the District of Columbia the importance of education and the direction that education is going in. And now we have this great debate about traditional schools versus charter schools. And, you know, when we all know that there was at one point just a one-room schoolhouse. So we want to say yes, the debate is important, the discussion is necessary for the betterment of our city and the residents who live here.
Thank you, Reverend Marley.
Friends, David Schuster here, and all of us at WEAC Radio are so proud of our neighbors here in Southeast D.C., especially one of our partners, The Arc. The Arc is at 1901 Mississippi Avenue Southeast. It's the home to some of Washington's best, including the Washington Ballet, the Levine School of Music, Boys and Girls Club, and the Children's Health Project all provide a number of programs and services within the very same facility. The Arc is also home to the Arc Theater, the only theater east of the river, which hosts a variety of dance, music, and theatrical shows each year. Almost everything you could want is at the Arc, so stop by and see them. The Arc, 1901 Mississippi Avenue in Southeast. For more information, visit the Arc's website, www.thearcdc.org, or call 202-889-5901. The Arc, part of Southeast D.C.
Hi, my name is Mark Levine. I host the Inside Scoop on Washington every Sunday from noon to 3 p.m. on WEACT Radio.
I've been hosting the Inside Scoop since 2003 when I quit my job as a congressional attorney. I began on a suburban radio station in Northern Virginia. Since then, I've been syndicated nationwide. I've been on XM Sirius Radio. I regularly appear on the Bill O'Reilly Show, and I take down Sean Hannity. He says I give him a headache. So I don't just take apart the right wing. I bring them on my show. I give the debates that you want to hear when you argue with your colleagues. You know, the water cooler at the family dinner table, those benighted conservatives that, let's face it, we all have as our family and friends. So check out the Inside Scoop. We deal with everything, economics, law, politics. Sometimes we even have Nancy Skinner on, and she makes me talk about Kim Kardashian. But I don't like that. So we have a well-balanced meal of radio for you. Check out the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, every Sunday, noon to 3 p.m., right here on We Act Radio.
Hi, we are Public Allies DC,
and we listen to We Act Radio, 1480 AM.
Do something!
My name is Philip Pinnell. I'm the Executive Director of the Anacostia Coordinating Council and the President of the Congress Heights Community Association. I think it's excellent that there is a show on education here in the District of Columbia. It's been too long in coming. And it's good to have a type of forum where people can actually, actually have access to the airwaves. And it's not something that is just discussed in some meetings, and if you're not there, you don't know what's going on. And here we now can truly have an expanded community conversation regarding educational issues. Great success. Look forward to it.
That's all I had to do.
Thank you, Mr. Pinnell, for your comments. We look forward to having you as an in-studio guest in the near future. Thank you so much. All right. And we are back live. Thank you so much for being here, listening today to the Education Town Hall, which is the intersection where we can all meet and collectively do what has never been done before and do what should have been done a long time ago. We are indeed happy to have in studio with us a very distinguished panel of guests. We have Ms. Shannon Cuttle, who's the project manager of the Anti-Bullying Initiative, the Safe Schools, a Safe Schools Advocate. Mr. Elliot Emsey, who's the Policy and Public Affairs Officer, and they're both of the Office of Human Rights, and Ms. Andrea Allen, who's Associate Attorney at Clores, Perry, and Mitchell. And we've been talking today about the issue, a very important issue of bullying. And so we want to kind of, in this last segment, get into some of the resources that may be available, some of the things that parents should be mindful of and adults in general should be mindful of as we go forward. But I want to start off by asking Ms. Cuttle, since this is we are kind of at the beginning stages of this process, I've got to ask, when will all this policy work be put in place? The team itself and all the issues that they have to grapple with, is there a time frame for when that work should be completed?
As far as relating back the task force to the Bullying Prevention Act 2012, it outlines as when the mayor appoints the task force. The task force has 180 days from that appointment to take charge, to create a model policy. And then from that standpoint, agencies also have a time frame in order to create policies based off a model policy. So overall, I think this will stretch out through the remainder of 2012 and into 2013 as we go from stage one and move on through various stages in this process.
Great. So I want to get to Ms. Allen, because you've been working on this issue as well. What should parents be looking out for in terms of their students and their children with regard to this issue of bullying? Is there certain things that parents should be mindful of or on the lookout for?
Well, I think, yes. I think that, that parents need to interact regularly with their children, talk to them about how their day has gone. You know, if you're in school, at the rec center, wherever it is that you're spending your time, at the neighbor's house, really get a pulse for, is my child feeling upbeat? Is everything going well? Is things just, you know, good? And talk to them about bullying, because education is very important in this area. So really share with them the import of not participating in these behaviors, and if they see them, they need to report them, and to really make sure that things are going well with them, and to find out if they, in fact, are being bullied, and talk with them about that.
Great. I want to ask Mr. MZ to share some final thoughts with regard to the Office of Human Rights. I know you all do a lot of things. I know the Language Access Initiative is housed in your office, or you lead that effort, and some other things. So is there some closing thoughts about your organization that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I would say that, like I mentioned at the beginning, there's the enforcement aspect of our organization, which is really people who file discrimination complaints. So that's really the only people who are going to see that part. But we are doing a lot of proactive work now, and we are trying to reach out on housing discrimination, on transgender rights, and, of course, on this anti-bullying initiative. So we really encourage people to check out our website, check out our Facebook page, and learn how you can be involved in that process. As we mentioned earlier, one of the great ways to get involved right now, specifically in the bullying aspect, is to join our task force and submit an application to join the task force, which people can do on the website. We really want parents and legal guardians to be involved and youth to be involved. So we encourage people to do that.
Thank you so much. I want to swing over because we only have a couple of minutes left. I'm going to swing back to Ms. Cuddle and talk about any resources that may be available to help those who are suffering, are being bullied, and those who are doing the bullying and their parent, their families, and those affected by bullying.
Sure. Really quickly, there's some outside resources in here locally for parents and students and those that are interested in bullying harassment. I would say check out some organizations such as SMILE, the Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League. They're doing some great work with youth, and their website is smile.org. And offshoot from that, I would also say on a larger framework, stopbullying.gov. That's the federal government's website for bullying information. There we'll have a information section that's just for youth, starting from kindergarten all the way up through college. Also, they have some great resources on there for parents and how to talk to your child about bullying harassment, things to look out for as a parent or a guardian that one might be missing, and also ways for teachers to get involved.
Fantastic. I want to swing over to Ms. Allen and ask if you have any closing thoughts. We have about a minute to go, and so I want to give you an opportunity to share any last thoughts that you may have.
Well, I like to say that while there will be some legal concerns that need to be addressed in terms of jurisdictional issues, enforcement, free speech, I think that we're really excited about this act and really want to encourage people, attorneys and other folks, to kind of really come on board in working with this task force to ensure that the policies and procedures that are put in place really can move forward this great work.
Thank you so much. It has been a delightful to have all three of you here today in the studio with us. We here at the Education Town Hall are very appreciative that you took time out of your busy schedules to be here. And I'm sure, I hope and pray that our listeners were benefited by this conversation and got something out of this, because it is indeed a very important issue. Bullying has been going on for generations. And so we've been talking to Ms. Shannon Cuddle, who's a project manager of the Anti-Bullying Initiative, and Mr. Elliot MZ, who's a policy and public affairs officer. They're both of the Office of Human Rights. And also to Ms. Andrea Allen, associate attorney with Claus Perry and Mitchell. Folks, we reached the end of the hour already. I want to thank you so much for being here. I do indeed want to thank our sponsor, the Washington section of the National Council of Negro Women. Thank you all for joining us today, and all our guests in studio. Please come back and see us again soon. You have been listening to the Education Town Hall here on WPWC 1480 AM. Listen live on weactradio.com, where the motto is, do something. Until 11 a.m. next Thursday, peace.